Good morning, church family, on Sunday the 24th of May. I hope you're all well and know God's blessing. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power would be known among all nations. Let the people praise God." And that is my prayer, that's my hope this morning, that God's saving power would be known among all nations, all people. We'd be known in your life this morning, we'd be known in your family, your friends, we'd be known in East Kilbride and across all of Scotland. The saving power, the saving grace of God in Christ. And we are here to give thanks, to celebrate and praise God for his saving power in our lives. God is worthy of all praise and worship. And we're going to do that through his word. Mark is going to share with us as we continue to look at the book of Philippians in chapter 3 this morning. And thank God that we can sing worship to him. Thank God for music and musicians and the gifted worship leaders in EMBC. And the Mitchells are going to be leading us in some worship. But right now we're going to hear from the wider church family what they've been up to throughout the lockdown and how God is using them in amazing ways in this season.
Hi, my name's Eve and I'm one of the young people in the church, and I'm here to give you a wee update about how lockdown has affected my life. At the start, I found it challenging as my exams got cancelled and I felt like all my hard work had gone to waste and that my 6 year had ended so abruptly without a prom or a last day. Thankfully, I got into uni to do child nursing, and I felt this is such a blessing to know that God has provided me, and I feel like this is his plan for me as well. I have found this comforting as I know some of my friends are worried about what the future holds during these uncertain times. Just before lockdown, I started a job at NHS 24. I was quite daunted at first, from being a 6 year pupil to working for NHS as a key worker in the unknown times of this pandemic. At the start, I was really nervous as I only got to do half of my training due to the circumstances and was worried about messing up. But I've really felt God's presence during this time and it's been really comforting. I've really missed church and hanging out with my friends, and I have felt like I have got a lot closer to God during these times. From meeting up with my life group on Zoom twice a week and listening to the Sunday services, I've been really thankful for the extra time to be able to get closer in my relationship with God. If you could please remember in your prayers all the young people who are uncertain about the future and what it holds for them, and the health and safety of our key workers, I would be really thankful. I hope you're all doing well and keeping safe in the pandemic.
Hi church, my name is Timea Kelly. My family and I have been coming to EMBC since the end of last summer. Our boys have been coming for a couple of years to the hub, and we decided to all attend EMBC as a family because the kids have made such good friends there. A lot of you don't know me yet because the last few months since we've been coming, I've missed quite a lot of church. I've not been too well. So some of you might know me, some of you might not, but I've been asked by the ladies on the WhatsApp group to share about what I've been up to in the last couple months since lockdown started. At the beginning of the lockdown, there was a call in one of the newspapers in Glasgow for people who would like to volunteer for the NHS to do stitching for gowns and scrubs and scrub bags. So I signed up for that, but they ran out of material what they could send out, and they encouraged people to raise their own money or fundraiser for their own material to buy, or to get donations of duvet covers. So as a result of us volunteering with a local COVID-19 volunteer group in Hamilton, we put out a call for duvet covers through school parent council groups and church groups that we know in the area, including EMBC and the local news outlets. And all these duvet covers started to flood in. In the meanwhile, the money that was raised, about a couple hundred pounds, the money that was raised, we bought new material, roughly £200 worth of it. And by the word of mouth or people suggesting, they started to join the Facebook group that I started, which is called Sewing or Making to Stop COVID-19. That group currently has approximately 140 people in it. Some of them stitchers, some of them make cards, some of them crochet or knit. Anything that anybody can do, we do that can help the care sector and NHS. I was one of the coordinators for the Love of Gowns, and currently we've coordinated over 200 gowns to go to GP practices in the area and health centres, which was Hamilton, East Kilbride, Strabane, Wishaw, Motherwell, Carluke, all ML and Glasgow area, which came under my responsibility. And that currently is finished, and we've moved on to producing scrubs and scrub bags. The scrub bags are important for nurses and doctors who work in the hospital or care, so they can put their scrubs in it in a safe way and transport it home and wash it safely without transporting any COVID-19 home to their own family homes. And so that's one of the things that we've done. We've done about over 600 of them, and all of them are out. They've gone to nurses, doctors all over the country and locally. And we have made roughly 200 plus, 250 maybe, scrubs from new and reused material. This is still ongoing, and we've just started to make face coverings as well. So there's about 200 odd has gone out. And one of the things that we did were offered that to the ladies of EMBC, and they could put in a donation towards the VC center. So that's kind of how it all came together, my little report. I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who helped in donating to the VC or giving material or their time, their talent. There's quite a few ladies who are stitchers from EMBC, and just wanted to say thank you very much for all your support. And stay safe, and thank you for listening to me. Bye.
Thank you. Hi there, I'm Angela. I'm quite new to the church. I've been going for just over a year. I grew up in East Kilbride and I moved back just over a year ago. So during the lockdown, I've been so grateful for having a little garden. I've never had my own garden before because I always lived in flats when I lived in Glasgow. So I've really enjoyed watching the birds flying about every day and singing and eating all the seeds that I put out for them. I don't know if you can see, well, there's a wood pigeon there, but lots of nice little birds have been visiting as well. And I've also got a bird bath and they've been enjoying having their baths in there as well. And I've just really enjoyed slowing down and having a chance to enjoy nature and just watch the birds just flying about and singing their songs. And it just brings to mind Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
Thank you so much to everyone that's shared with us this morning and sent in videos and from the previous weeks. It is so encouraging and uplifting for us to see each other and hear from each other in this way and see how God's using you and blessing you. Please do keep on sending in video clips to us and make sure to record them horizontally and record simply how God's blessed you, how you've been challenged, how you're growing in faith, how you've been inspired and encouraged. Record a few minutes of that and send that in to us. And I know that God will use it to bless his church. God is a holy, holy, holy God, worthy of all praise. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the infinite God. And we're going to worship him now. The Mitchells are going to lead us in a time of worship. And then Mark is going to share with us from Philippians.
Hi everyone. I'm not sure how you've been feeling this week, but just in the last few days I've been thinking there's just a lot of uncertainty about talk about changes and how we ease out of lockdown. And I know with my work things are changing day to day, and my decision's made one day and then a couple of days later it's changed. And we don't know what school's going to look like for the children when we go back, or what church will look like. I've realised that it's good for me to just concentrate on what I know is certain, and about my faith and about God. God does not change, that he's faithful. There's some verses in Lamentations, and it says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease.
the shackles from my feet so I can dance. I just wanna praise you, just wanna praise you. Broke my chain so I can lift my hands. I just wanna praise you, just wanna praise you. The shackles from my feet so I can dance. I just wanna praise you, I just wanna praise you. Broke the chains, now I can lift my hands. I just wanna praise you.
Hello everyone, and a big thank you to the Mitchells for leading us in worship today. I'm back in my conservatory, bringing you God's Word. It's got the best lighting in the house, but it does mean if it starts to rain, it might sound a bit like I'm in a caravan. This is Friday morning that I'm recording it. I'm looking out, it's a bit damp and windy this morning, so hopefully it'll not rain too heavily for us as we're listening to God's Word today. We're back in the book of Philippians, and we're going to be in chapter 3, looking at verses 1 to 11. And Paul has been encouraging the church in Philippi to stay united, to live humbly. He's pointed to Jesus as the perfect example of this. He's also reflected on people they've known, like Timothy and Epaphroditus, and their example. And now Paul comes to share very personally with the church in Philippi, really about his own life goals, about his own life ambition, what he wants for life. And we're kind of used to this sort of conversation. We like to talk about our lives and things we want to do in the future. It's been one of the challenges of this pandemic. Many of the things that we talk about, like I'm going to go here on holiday, I'm going to go and have dinner here, and I'm going to go and do this, we've not been able to do. And if we are talking about them, we're uncertain about when we're going to be able to do these things. But Paul in this passage, though, is sharing with absolute certainty about what he wants to do with his life. And for Paul, as we're going to see as we come into chapter 3, it's all about Jesus. It's all about knowing Jesus. It's all about celebrating Jesus. It's all about sharing Jesus and all that he's done in his life. And so God's word this morning is going to take each of us today to a place of asking, what is it I really want for my life. You know, when everything's stripped away, and in many ways this pandemic has done this to an extent, you know, holidays are gone, trips are gone, a lot of what we talk about, we've not been able to do so, has been stripped away. When we're in that place, what is it? What is it, is it that you really want for your life? So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Philippians 3. We're going to be in verses 1 to 11. I'll stop along the way and then just kind of read right to the end. But just to introduce it, from verse 1, Paul writes this: "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." There's Paul's encouragement again for them to live with joy. And notice the source of their joy. It's not their circumstances. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. That relationship they have with God is where their joy is found. Then he says this: "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." Paul is saying, you know, it's good to go over and over the wonderful truths of the Christian faith. It is a safeguard, he describes it as. It is a protection against what Paul in many ways is now going to go on and talk about. And at this point, before I read on, let me just give you a bit of contextual background into the book of Philippi. Much of Paul's ministry, as he moved around different places, he came up against different groups that opposed him. And one of these groups are often referred to as the Judaizers. These were folks that believed in Jesus, but they also believed that the practices of the Old Testament, things like circumcision and other practices, had to be carried on. You know, what they were really doing was they were kind of trying to add to what Jesus had done. You know, Jesus dies on the cross, pays the price for our sins. We don't need to do anything else. But the Judaizers came along and said, yes, Jesus did that, but you also still need to be doing these works as well. And so Paul is speaking into that setting. So we read on in verses 2. "Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh." When Paul uses that word flesh, he's in many ways just talking about things that we do and works that we might do to think that we have to earn God's love. "Though I myself," he says in verse 4, "have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage." That's a really strong word that Paul says there. "I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ," he says. "Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Father God, as we open your word here today, as always, we pray and ask that you would speak you into our lives, that it would be like honey, that it would be like food to our souls today, Father. So, word of God, speak. We open our hearts, we open our minds to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's been following Jesus for many years, and here in these verses, he's deeply personal. It's a heart expression of his desire to know Jesus more deeply and intimately. It's his ambition in life. I want to know Jesus more. He's got many things in his life to be thankful for, but he's like, I just want to keep growing more as a follower of Jesus, to know Jesus more. What an incredible life goal to have. How do we make it ours? How did Paul keep going with this goal in his life? You know, his whole life was about knowing Jesus more. Well, there's three things that we can take away today and apply to our lives that will help us to live a life of that same ambition that Paul had, to know Jesus more. And the first one is actually more of a warning. The first one is be aware of being misled. Into Philippi had come a group of people, most likely these Judaizers. They threatened to mislead the people with their teaching. They were very committed, very passionate people, much to be admired in how they lived their lives. But their teaching contradicted, undermined the life of Jesus. And boy, Paul does not hold back on his punches. I mean, he calls them dogs, he calls them evildoers, he calls them mutilators of the flesh, referring to circumcision. I mean, strong and aggressive language. Why does Paul use this language? Well, he's trying to raise their awareness to the danger of this group of people. He's saying to them, do not be misled. See, Paul loves these people and he loves this church. And he's doing what anyone would do for people that he's loved. He's warning them about this false teaching. And part of how he warns them is he counteracts the teaching that they've been receiving. And he reminds them of who they are. And we see that in verse 3, because he says, for it is we who are the circumcision. You know, circumcision was the sign of the covenant people of God. And he's saying, you know, we are now the true people of God who follow Jesus. In verse 3, he says, we who serve God by his Spirit. He's saying to him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. In verse 3, he goes on, he says again, who boast in Christ Jesus. And he's saying to him, we don't need to talk about what we need to do in regards to works. We don't need to earn our salvation or anything like that. We just talk about what Jesus has done. We don't need to talk about adding anything to his saving power. Our confidence is in Jesus and all that he has done for us. And so Paul is speaking to these people and he's saying to them, don't be misled. Be aware. Don't be misled by this teaching. And as you seek to know Jesus more, be aware of being misled. Be aware of counteracting falseness with the truth of who you are. You're a child of God. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're confident in the truth of Jesus as your Saviour. And just one little helpful point here. Back in verse 1, Paul wrote, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for your soul. You know, when the girls were young, we had stair gates to stop them falling down the stairs. They were safeguards. And Paul is saying here, he's writing the same thing. What Paul is saying here is that, you know, I'm writing the same things. I'm talking about the same wonderful truth over and over again because it's a safeguard. It stops you falling down. It stops you falling into false belief. You know, that constant truth of God's word, as opening it up and letting it feed your soul, is so important as being a safeguard to false teaching. So in your life, be aware of being misled and remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Secondly, though, celebrate your transformation. To be able, like Paul, to look at our lives and say, it's all about Jesus. I want to just keep knowing Jesus more. Then we need to keep celebrating what Jesus has done in our lives. And Paul, in verses 4 to 6, looks back on his own life. And remember the context, these false teachers that are looking to add on things that need to be done. And one of these things is circumcision. And Paul's like, you know, you don't need to do anything. You know, Jesus, the all sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross has done it all. He's paid for all our sins. You just need to believe and receive what Jesus has done for you. And so Paul looks to destroy this way of thinking, this very legalistic kind of work-based faith. And he looks back in his own life in verses 4 to 6. And Paul's like, if these things counted for anything, then wow, I would have been sorted. I mean, verse 5, he talks about his Jewish heritage, circumcised of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Then he goes on to look at his previous lifestyle, you know, a Pharisee. You know, he said, I had a passion to destroy the followers of Jesus. When it came to following the law, he was an A-plus student. He was faultless. There were very few like Paul. He was right up there, top of the class. But then he says in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, if you open your Bible later today in Acts 9, read about Saul. That's what Paul used to be called. And he's on his way to Damascus, and he's on a seek out and destroy mission against the followers of Jesus. And the risen Lord Jesus appears to him and says to him, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what to do. The accounting sheet changed for Paul that day. Previously, on the column that said worth, it was about his birthright. It was about his personal practices of the law. On the other side, what was of no worth was the followers of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. But on that day, everything flipped for Paul. His life is totally transformed. He would write later to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. You know, we must never stop celebrating the transformation that Jesus has brought into our lives. You might think, you know, that there's not much to celebrate right now. It's been a difficult 10 weeks or so. But Paul always came back to what Jesus had done for him. You know, a few weeks ago, the Merrill group was on. And on a Sunday, and I just happened to walk through the room as Jessica was engaged in the kind of Zoom time that they do. And they were talking about the story of the 10 lepers. You know, Jesus heals these 10 lepers, and they go away and they're healed. But only one of them came back to thank him. And you know what? We need to keep coming back to the one who has transformed our lives. And maybe this week, you just need to spend some time celebrating and worshipping God for his transforming power in your life. Maybe what you're experiencing right now, maybe God's transforming how you've been coping during this lockdown time. Maybe worries and anxieties have been lifted up. Maybe you're coping with this much better than you ever expected because of Jesus at work in your life. He's given you a peace. He's given you a hope. And you just need to thank him for that. Never lose sight of what he's done in your life. Paul never lost sight of how Jesus totally transformed his life. And when you've got that attitude of gratitude in your life, then you just want to know him more. You just want to know the one more and more who keeps transforming your life. So God's word is saying to us to keep Jesus at the center. We need to be aware of being misled, and we need to keep celebrating what he's done in our lives. We need to keep coming back to him with joy and thanks. And then finally, Paul is looking back, and in many ways he's sharing his story. He's sharing his story of how Jesus has transformed him. But he now goes on to talk about how Jesus is the best. He's going on to say, choose Jesus because he is the best. Verse 7, I've read it already. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul is looking back. And he's saying, I thought what I was doing back then was great. I thought I was faultless, the best of the best. But now I consider it loss. In fact, he says, I consider it garbage that I may gain Christ. I mean, can you feel the passion here? That life, he's saying, that I used to live, it was nothing. It was loss. It was rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. I was reminded this week of an old Graham Kendrick song that we used to sing. And I just want to read some of the words to you. All I once held dear, built my life upon. all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. This is what Paul is saying here. There is no greater thing than knowing you, Jesus. He unpacks for us some of what is great about knowing Jesus. Verse 9, we're found in him. There's that phrase that we keep coming to over and over again. In Christ, in him, found in him. The old life where Paul tried to, through his works, make himself right with God is now gone. He's in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith is what Paul now knows. He's made right with God through Jesus Christ. And Paul knows this. And you know, when we say yes to Jesus, when we're sorry for our sins, when we thank him for dying on the cross for us, when we invite him into our lives, when we ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, Jesus doesn't say, show me your portfolio of all the things you've done to deserve this. He's not looking for that. It's in his grace. It's through his perfect love that we receive all that he wants to do in our lives. Jesus has done it all. What is great about knowing Jesus, we're found in him. And we experience the power of God. Paul writes, I want to know, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You know, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the promise of the Holy Spirit poured into the lives of all who believe. That Spirit of God is at work in your life today because you know Jesus. It's a work that is transforming you. It is a work that is empowering you, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, the old prophet in the Old Testament said. The resurrection power of Jesus is at work in your life today. It's a power to see God at work in extraordinary ways. It is a power to see God at work in the ordinary days of your life. This is what's great about knowing Jesus. We know the power of God at work in and through us. But Paul drops in that unsettling phrase, doesn't he? Participation in his sufferings. Paul wanted to know Jesus so much that he was willing to walk whatever path God took him on, even a path of suffering. And today, maybe you know that you're on that path and you just need to know that Jesus is right with you in your suffering. He walked the path of suffering to the cross and he walks with you in whatever trial you're going through today. Finally, what is great about knowing Jesus? Well, choosing Jesus is the best. He is the best because it never ends. And Paul says this, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You know, is Paul using that word somehow to express doubt and uncertainty? I don't think so. I think what Paul is really saying here is somehow someone like me is going to be with Jesus forever. He's like that, really? I get to spend my whole life with Jesus? Me, Paul, who used to hunt down Christians and persecute them, and now I get to be with Jesus forever. He's saying, Jesus, you're the best. You really are. Here is Paul, and he's writing to this church in Philippi. There's some false teaching that's been kind of moving around the church, and he's telling them to be careful about that. And he's saying, look, this is my heart. This is what my ambition is. I just want to fall in love with Jesus more and know him more. And here are just three helpful tips for you. Be aware of not of being misled. Stay in God's word. Remember that your identity is in Christ. Celebrate all that he's done and is doing in your life. Keep coming back to Jesus and be like, wow, you've transformed my life. And choose Jesus over everything else because he is the best. You're found in him. You're made right with God through Jesus Christ and nothing else is needed. You've got the power of God in your life for extraordinary things to happen, but to also know that power at work in the ordinary days of your life. And it never, never ends. We will know him forever. Now, as we come to close, I want to bring you back to some of the words of that song that I read earlier. And I just want to speak these over you this morning. Make them a prayer in your heart today. Now, my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord. So with you to live and never die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Let us make that the prayer of our heart today. Let us pray together. Father God, as we sit here this day, so much of our lives have been stripped away over the last 10 weeks or so. And maybe we've found ourselves asking, what is the goal of my life? What is my life about? May it be you, Jesus. May it be you first. And maybe you just want to take a moment to say that. Just to say to Jesus, knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. There is no greater thing than knowing you, Jesus. Maybe you've never said that in your life before. And maybe this morning, this day, you just want to say to Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Jesus. And ask now that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Remember, you don't need to bring that portfolio of having to earn it. It's grace. It's you receiving what you don't deserve through the love of Christ Jesus. He wants to be the best in your life. Maybe for the first time today, you need to just open your heart to him. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Lord, as we continue to be here, I'm going to hand over to some folks to lead worship in a moment. But, you know, I'm conscious today that maybe there's some of you that are in need of healing, maybe emotional or physical healing. You know, this has been Mental Health Awareness Week that we've just come to the end of. I just want to encourage you to stretch out your hands. And I just want to pray for you to receive healing this morning. Father God, for those whose hands are stretched out before you now, you know their needs. Lord, if it is emotional healing, then heal the wounds, the hurts, the worries. Just bring them before him now. You know, maybe someone's hurt you and you're struggling to forgive them. Maybe it's just a cloud of worry and anxiety that's been hanging over you. Jesus, we pray and ask that through the power of your Spirit, you would bring healing where it is needed. Maybe it's physical healing. And you know, just as we're praying just now, Jesus, I can picture you going and laying hands on people. And for those folk today who are at home and their hands are open and they need physical healing, Jesus, I just picture you touching their hands. Heal them. Heal them. Tell Jesus where it is you need healing today. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come before you with everything that's going on in our lives. We can bring it all to you. May your Spirit be at work in each person who has listened, who has joined this service today. And may we all go into this week knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to hear a song of worship now. Lauren Mitchell is going to lead us in the song, The Blessing. This is a song that's been ministering actually across the world into many people's lives. And I would encourage you just to continue, just listen to this song and receive all that God is looking to do in your life today. And God bless you all this week ahead.
So much to everyone involved in today's service, and thank you for joining us this morning. I hope God's blessed you and you know afresh the saving power of God in your life. We have a Zoom prayer time tonight between 6:30 and 7:30. The details to join that are the same as the previous weeks. But if you need those details, get in touch with Mark or Al and they'll make sure to send you them. But as we go, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. I hope and I pray that I'll see you all soon. Grace and peace to you.